from the top, yeah. Okay, so this is the Coastal Noise Podcast, and let me just break it down for you real quick. If you want to hear more Coastal Noise Podcast episodes, you can go to coastalnoise.com. You can go to the podcast page. The audio files are there to listen right there. You can download the files, put them on your smartphone, your MP3, your computer, whatever it is you're into, you know what I mean? And I may be removing some of the audio episodes soon, though. Just the audio players. I will keep the files and the show notes and the pics up and all that good stuff. But it's just so I can free up some traffic space just in case there is any lag. We can minimize it as much as possible. But the download files will be there for access. You can go to the blog page to where there has been a slew of recent food recipes that I've been throwing up there. Just improv, funny little experiments that have turned into something... something I thought was worth putting down. All these are pretty easy to make and delicious, in my opinion. Obviously, I wouldn't be writing about them if I didn't enjoy them personally. There's the Paleo 3-Nut Bars, which are a type of granola bars with like cashew, almond, sunflower seed mixture with coconut honey sauce that you put over the pan. It's really good. Check it out. Dried cherries or cranberries and some coconut flakes, chocolate chips. You know what I'm saying? Do you see where I'm going with this? Then there's the orange goodness drink with blueberries. It creates this, you got to see the color on it. It's like this red, yellow, greenish, Jamaican looking powerhouse drink. I mean, fantastic to get your morning going. You got a date cashew syrup, which I think was yesterday I put together. It's pretty good stuff. A little accident there. It was going to be a granola bar turned into what I thought was an awesome cereal. So that's what it is now. Social media, Twitter, Facebook, Coastal Noise, Stefan Lawson, we're there. Are you on there, Ryan Vanskiver? I think Ryan Vanskiver's on it too. So if you want to holler at him, hey, go for it. I mean, he's out there. We're all out there. And you know what you can do? You can like his stuff. You can like my stuff. You can support what it is, whatever it is that we're putting out, whether it's for this or the Mizos thing, the open mic, the comedy thing we've been doing lately. That is a great way to just say, hey, keep it up, guys. I like what you're doing. And, respect for respect. So thank you, of course, for all that you do. Right, Ryan? Ryan's shaking his head and giving me the thumbs up. Ryan literally gave me a thumbs up. He gave me the like icon that I'm speaking of right now. It's all good vibes around here. Yeah? Yeah. Okay. What's that? Oh, yeah, sharing. Oh, man, you talk about a step over liking, sharing things. Ooh, totally different, right? You can't see him, but he's got his hands, and he's doing one level here and then another level above that hand. You know what I'm saying? It's going up higher in question marks. It's good stuff. You don't have to question. It is true. He knows what he's talking about. He went to school briefly. enough about that. You should hear us talk in the actual episode when he's got a mic in his hand, right? So let's get right into that. Coastal Noise Podcast, episode 25. Here it is. Get at it.
The thing was like a lady walking out to her mailbox,
yeah,
and like hearing some gossip and then like shaking her head with like approval. She's like, yeah, this thing's a shit.
Yeah, yeah. And then the one the guy, the old man who's wearing it out on the corner side, and he's like raking.
Yeah.
And inside the woman goes, I can't wait till dad sees the new fishing pole I got him. And the guy just turns around like so excited.
Dude.
Smiling. Like, he's never had a fishing pole in his life.
Isn't that so fucking ridiculous?
78 years old, and he's just been fishing with a stick and a string. What
a fishing, finally. He put his dues in, man. He's
exactly.
Finally going to get that. But you know what? It's fucking cheapened experience, because he knew it was coming.
Well, actually,
that's like,
you know,
your mom telling you on the fucking 22nd, they're like, hey, we got you that Xbox. 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
It
when
is.
You first hear it, you're like, man, it's not as sweet.
You know, it's probably, he probably got more excitement and surprise out of it than by getting it the actual day, because at least then it surprised him, like, all of a sudden, like, he just all of a sudden, audio just came into his head and he heard it and he was super surprised, not expecting to hear that while he was raking leaves. But on your birthday, you know, you're getting presents, and then when she comes up to you with a present that's, like, you know, 7 feet long, very narrow, just wrapped in wrapping paper, you're just like...
Yeah, I mean, it's at a certain point you can call it.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to see the commercial where he's not going to get what he wants. Where, like, he's getting, like, a year's supply worth of socks. He's like, he's always talking about how he's losing his socks. And he's like, we got Dad the biggest sock pack available. And he's just like, starts breaking all the windows.
He goes to a bar during his birthday and he just gets drunk because he knows there's nothing for him at home.
And when exactly. He leaves his family behind. They get pissed off and go to sleep. They find him at 6 in the morning and on the kitchen counter covered in socks.
Covered in socks?
He's got socks on his hands, his feet, God knows where else. I don't have to say it.
Wow.
God, what happened? Dude, see, that's what my brain does. It's like I'll jettison into, like, the weird part of a thing and then stop. Just be like, well, I guess that's that.
Dude, I just envisioned a dude getting a fishing pole for his birthday present who's never seen one before in his life. I think we went there together. I think we both contributed to that.
We were on the same road for a little while.
Yeah. I love it. It's almost an art. It's almost a skill. Of developing this thing where you just go and go and go with conversations.
Yeah.
And just hitting all the high points. And I mean, that's a huge part of comedy. That's a huge part of writing in general. Comes from mostly human experiences, talking to one person to another, you know, and developing that and seeing where it goes. And in that case, like what we just talked about, I mean, hey, that's a bit right there.
It is.
I'm going to hear, listen back just one so of us I have could stuff do that to write
tonight. You're going to play tonight.
Yeah, so it's got to be you. You got to do it.
I got to do
it. You should take it. You should take it and see if you can do it. Before we go up, you should write it down a little bit.
Okay. I got to definitely...
One of my favorite things about what we've been doing anytime we've done stand-up, whether at Mizo's or here or wherever else, is working out new material every week. Like, just making it an exercise to find something and do it and write it and put it down. And that... that is super satisfying. In a week's time, 7 days. I mean, it shows just how fresh your material is and how new things can be and exciting.
I think people appreciate that shit too. Like, I'm going to redo stuff, but it's the only time I'll ever redo anything is if I know, like, the audience isn't familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, it's cool to go, like, to go back and take something that you did and make it better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's fun, but I don't think it makes you better. I think... you just worked that thing out,
mm-hmm.
and now that actual product is better. You yourself as a comedian will get better by challenging yourself and, like, working new things all the time. And when stuff doesn't work, that's part of the deal. Like, you'll get better from that.
Mm-hmm.
You can make that bit better, but it's going to, I think, in the long run, it'll help you telling a joke that nobody laughs at.
Right.
I think it'll help you. Like, 10 jokes that nobody laughs at will help you a lot more than one where you kill.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's sort of where I'm at. I'm starting to, like I told you in the car, like, because we did that thing at Mizo's this Monday, and it wasn't, like, wasn't packed, and it's not that it wasn't packed, it's that we had, like, sort of general the same amount of people, but we went outside. And whenever, like, a joke doesn't really work, or if it only works on one or two people, you feel it more.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, like, really down on that, and I told you I went back and, like, thought about it and decided to be, like, kind of in an upswing, like, positive, try to make a positive push for this. And it's kind of made me be, like, you know, I've told you how, like, I think people would think I'm a douchebag for doing comedy? Like, have I ever had that conversation with you before?
No.
That's good. Like,
I understand where you're coming from. I mean, because there's a weird... I don't know how to say it, what word to describe it. It's weird, and it's this psychological thing of standing up in front of people and being on a platform. That's why I love the stage, and I think, I mean, that's why stages exist, to give that elevated plateau for the performers. And I think a lot of people from the ground level, I mean, I've never felt this way, but I know a lot of people probably have, is like, that's the idea. Hey, what's up, man? Sorry.
How's it going?
But I think a lot of people have the mentality of... That them being up higher and doing all these things that people are paying attention to taking note of, putting focus on them versus focus on them, or they want to be on that stage, they want to be doing those
things. Focus
and if
away
they can't
them.
Do those things, if they can't be on stage and they don't have the gut to do it, the nerve, or they're just not geared to it, that's not their skill set, then that's fine.
That's why hecklers exist.
Right. It's an ego thing in a lot of ways, and it's just like, instead of them taking out their aggression on this idea of you being up there, is their way of justifying it for themselves. That, you know, instead of them feeling bad about it or not having their way, they're going to put the energy on you, try to make you look like a fool, or just cut you down to make you feel that negativity. But, I mean, just because someone's up there doing that doesn't mean that you have to be, you know, a dick about it in any kind of way. You could do the same thing. You know, anybody can get up on stage and do something. But also at the same time, it's a very appealing thing because, like I said, people are watching, people are focused on it, and like, just, I mean, look at like shows like American Idol or just any major bands that do very well for themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of fame and a lot of attention that goes to it, and a lot of people find those two things very attractive, so they want those things. But just because it looks appealing, just because it looks nice, doesn't mean you have to feel that you deserve that stuff more than somebody else.
Yeah,
and
it doesn't necessarily mean
that's your path either. You know, that it might mean that you're a super good mechanic or a writer or a teacher or any number of things, you know. Mm-hmm. It's so whack to get caught up in this one idea of I should be doing this one thing because it looks the most appealing.
Solid use of the word whack.
Yeah, I didn't know where else to go with that. See?
It totally applied.
My skill set is not always for a language thing, so
what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
And
you know a thing or two on improv.
A little bit.
So sometimes
more than I ever thought I did. You're the only one that made me think about it is because you started calling it that. Like, you saw that the second set I ever did, which still in my mind was, like, one of the best ones I've done. Mm-hmm. You came up and, like, talked to me about it, and you're like, oh, you're really getting fucking went and did a podcast, and you just called it improv. I'm like, I guess he's right.
Yeah.
You know, because I hadn't written anything down at that point. And I felt like the best, like I could make people laugh in conversation. So I just kind of do that.
Right.
You know, and I'm trying to like maybe like I told you I started writing stuff like just the other day. Like I actually have a notebook with me for the first time and fucking God knows
which
how
I'm proud. Hey, right here.
Thanks,
that's,
man.
That's good shit.
But it was sort of goes back to what I was leading into is like, I guess I'd never had the conversation with you, but I was afraid that like, cause nobody had ever even like hated on me about it. It was just in my own head. I was like, man, I don't really want people to think like, oh, he's doing this. And it's like, what, you know, but that was like my own deal. And I've kind of like shed that. And now I'm looking into these avenues where I could become like better at it, because I feel like I'm good at this, or like not like super awesome or whatever, but I feel like I'm good enough to where it's a skill that I want to develop. Mm-hmm. And even if it's not like a career, I'll have fun doing it. And I think I'll get paid for it eventually.
Have you heard, this is a great segue into something I just read about today. Have you heard of Kess Live? KESS?
Is it Kress or Kess? Is this a place?
It's a place in development on Howard Avenue in downtown
Biloxi. Is Ace involved with it, the Art Can Change Everything thing?
Hmm? Oh, yeah.
It is?
Yeah. Or that's somehow involved. I saw something tying it to another
You remember
thing.
Julia? You know Julia Reyes, huh?
Julia Reyes.
Yeah.
I don't, maybe.
Well, her and Lyle are like dating or whatever, and they, you know, for a year or something. But
okay.
She's been like involved in my life because of that, because Lyle's like my best friend,
right.
And we've been hanging out a lot. She's a part of that movement, and she's I might as well pump her up while we're on the podcast. She's a badass artist, JuliaReyesArt.com, I think. I hope I have that right.
You think she'd do the podcast?
Probably. Yeah. I should tell you, I recorded a podcast with Lyle and Julia the other day for like 30 minutes, just because I found like software or whatever and just pressed the button and didn't tell anybody shit. And
that's not a podcast. That's some NSA eavesdropping.
I later announced it, but for a while it was like, what's going on? And I told him I was recording it. I was like, I wanted to start a podcast. And I wanted to tell you that she did that, so she might as well come on here with us. I'm sure she'd be down at least to pump up some art stuff from time to time.
Yeah.
But if you were going to name a podcast for me, what do you think it would be?
I don't know. Because
you already nailed something really well with Coastal Noise. Like, oh, that's you. Such like a... like, I feel like there's a cornerstone behind it.
Ties it
like
in.
It's, yeah, it's built well, you know? But I can't think of anything for just... Because it really just be like me and Lyle sometimes and, you know, whoever else. But mostly bullshitting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, heavy on the bullshitting. Like, here we'll actually... We'll come up with a topic and then we'll riff on that topic. Or we'll come up with something in the news and riff on that. Mm-hmm. This is going to be, like, a lot of, like, just shit talking. If it ever comes to fruition. I thought maybe like Skeezy's Corner, which is just kind of silly to me, but
Skeezy Street.
And I wanted to, Skeezy Street. All right, you're onto something there. I was gonna do the Ryan Van Sciver Experience, but it's bullshit. I can't just rip that. No way. But I want to do it like I want to try to get like find local comics, and this is something we could do too. You know?
Yeah. Speaking of which, going back to what I was saying, full circle, because you brought up something about comedy.
Crest
and all
Live
that.
Is what you're going to bring up.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's, I don't think there's an R in it.
Or whatever.
There could be. Kes. Who knows? Kes. I think it's Kes. Don't quote me on it. I just found out today, people. Okay, so this place is coming together, should be arriving within the next year or something like that. But it's going to be a huge music venue, and it's going to cater to all kind of genres. It's a very big place. There's supposed to be possibly... talks of dual piano rooms and a comedy room in the upstairs or something like that. So, I mean, especially if you know Julia and she's tied in with this stuff, that's, I mean...
Yeah, we could definitely talk to her about that. I'm sure she has some knowledge on it. Yeah, I didn't know there was a comedy room, though.
Well, it's just talks, like I said.
Yeah.
But,
well, none of it's formed.
But it's a big place that's supposed to be coming together. It sounds super cool. And, I mean, it's just one more thing that's coming to this area that, as of lately, has just been... I was driving up 67 the other day going north, and I saw the area that's being reserved for... It's like a multi-sportsplex or some sort of camp... I think it's a multi-sports place is what it is. But whatever the case is, outdoor-related things, you know. So, and I mean, just all that we've talked about on the podcast tons of times is just, like, cool stuff that's coming about and whatnot. But, I mean, that's just another thing, this thing. And it could cater to comedians. I mean, it seems like it has the space in the room and the people that are in development of it. They seem like pretty cool guys, knowledgeable. Yeah. And it seems like, you know, that if there's a window for it, an outlet... You know, and that's enough time. We'll be doing what we're doing at Mizo's for months to come, mm-hmm. building up a little something or another, getting a spark going. And once you get a spark going, you just want to kindle it in one place to another, bring it, and then spread it. And eventually you've got a whole local following of one thing and whatnot. Yeah. So
that's what we got to do, is create a following.
Yeah.
And what I really want to do, despite the fact that the internet is going to eat me or you, we got to start recording something. We need a video or something to, like, point at us and go, this is like a piece of what we've done, or like, this is something that you could expect to come and just see a
guy
do comedy
aspect.
Yeah, comedy.
Yeah,
or,
you know, we, and the great thing about it is like the style, the level of technique and experience that, you know, the three of us have been trying to kind of like gear towards.
Yeah,
I mean, we've been putting out a lot of content. A lot of it is new stuff, you know, mm-hmm. and I think we're going to be working to try to get new stuff all the time. So, you know, a part of me in the get-go was like, man, comedy's a weird thing because you don't want to put out what you've written and built up, because then that takes away from what... But if we do, like, some improv stuff or just, like...
if we do what we
new material and then just never touch up material very often or whatever and just put it out there, I mean, yeah, that would work totally.
That second week at Mizo's, the thing that... the hour you and me did?
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah,
you know,
because we can clip. Because
it wasn't really all like material. We were just bullshitting.
Yeah.
Some of it was, but...
Yeah, but we stumbled on some stuff. I mean, you got to pretty much, if you're just rambling, you got to stumble over some things, and then you'll find some better things here and there. But like the thing we did when we were talking about the gym and the buzzer and all that stuff, just all that, I mean, that turned into a minute or two of gold. I mean, not gold, but it was good. It was gold to us. We made us happy.
Gold-plated.
It was gold-plated, aluminum, copper, titanium, ceramic.
I got some good feedback on that. Daniel gave me a good line to add into there.
I'm going to take a drink of water real quick here. I wanted to pick up on something that I've been all about lately, and it has to do with what we were talking about last podcast with the guy who caught the bubonic plague from his cat in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And just quick bullet points for anybody who hasn't heard it. Okay, last week, dude got scratched by his cat. He had to bury the cat the next day because the cat got ill, buried it. He got sick. They went and dug up his cat. Cat test positive for the bubonic plague. he has it. He goes into a coma for 27 days, then loses his fingers, all this stuff. So that got me thinking, because the only reason, like, I really know the bubonic plague is from the Black Death days.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, one of the greatest, darkest time periods of human recorded history. And, you know, killed 50 million Europeans.
Yeah.
And that's how I know the bubonic plague. So when I saw it come up in the news, I was like, what? You know, you think, is this the next zombie outbreak or something like that? When truthfully, 1,000 to 2,000 people catch it and possibly die from the bubonic plague annually every year today.
What?
So it's still out there, and it's kind of, you know, back in the time of the Europeans, they didn't just get it. It slowly spread over the course of time. In fact, there have been three major outbreaks of the bubonic plague, the earliest being Constantinople, which lost 40% of its entire population. And then in Hong Kong in 1890s, I think it was Hong Kong, they got it too, and it was a really bad situation there. But the what goes in the history books, like what is known, is the bubonic plague of medieval Europe in the mid-1300s. Yeah. That's,
you talk about the bubonic plague, that's what people jump to.
Yeah. And
I didn't know it had been an outbreak in, like, several times. I thought we had that thing happen in Europe, and we locked it down, and now we're safe.
No, it spread very slowly over time towards Europe, and they think that possibly the people that the original carriers of it were the Mongols, possibly, and which is a really interesting fact if it's true, because the Mongols were so gangster, they were so hardcore, and
I wouldn't have wanted to hang out with them.
No, the Mongols. I mean, I don't.
Shitty fucking people.
there's some people, some friends, Jeff would probably know way more, because he's listened to, like, Dan Carlin's Hardcore History.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, has probably researched it a little bit more and has studied it in history and all this kind of stuff. But, I mean, rest assured, the Mongols, I mean, they killed millions as well. And, I mean, they were some of the fastest, most effective conquerors on the planet for their time. They were the most at the time.
Yeah.
But in the course of, like, the last couple centuries, they still rank up there, like, super high. And the fact that they would do things like just riding their horses. They would just ride on, stab their horses, drink the blood of the horses, and just keep rolling all through the night. You know, they would never stop. And they would sustain off the blood of their own beasts of which they rode upon. You know?
God damn, that is gangster.
Yeah, and I mean, horrible stuff. Horrible stuff, you can imagine.
Fuck.
I mean, the stuff of nightmares they would do. They were ruthless. They were so terrible.
Ruthless, cocksucker.
Ruthless. They were terrible, I swear. But they think that they got the plague, which is really interesting for such a deadly disease to affect the deadliest people. Is that not karma? That's fucking
karma,
a little bit,
ain't it? Yeah.
It has to be.
On a microscopic scale.
Anyway, they get it, they caught it, and they're traveling, they go to take some of Europe, you know. The Silk Road is huge. Mm-hmm. The Silk Road is allowing for a great deal of mercantile trade. Also, ships are sailing to ports, you know, on the West Coasts.
Yeah.
They're going through all the major bodies along the southern regions of Europe and the northern regions of Africa and all these kinds of things. A lot of trades going on through Asia too, whatever waterways they can get. And all of it is starting to be affected by the bubonic plague, which, I'm going to turn that down just a hair. We got to talk into those things a little bit more. Somebody is jacked. So, I mean, where was I? So, tons of people. I mean, can you hear that? Can you hear this guy?
Do we have any bubonic plague on us?
I know, right? Anyway, so why do some people just want to project over everybody else? I mean,
well, you
we want to
make sure you're seen.
We got headphones and microphones just so we can make sure that we didn't bother anybody else. Then you have people. That's the thing with bars. Anyway, we digress.
Oh, it's going to be fucking aggravating all night, dude. I'm going to have to lock shit down. Come 10:30.
Well, so, anywho, it's going on, and they're getting through, and it's weird because before the bubonic plague truly hits, they have what is known as a golden age. Europe has a period of a golden age where it's peaceful, lots of food, all this kind of stuff, and then all of a sudden, it's like from Revelations, the four horsemen come, and famine, disease, war. What is it? Famine, plague, war, and death. That's what it is.
Yeah.
All ride in and just change the landscape. Hang in there, man. Hang in there. Focus.
I'm trying.
It changes the landscape. The weather changes. The pattern shift. Everything gets cold and damp, and it's just super hard to survive out there. And the Mongols, they come along, right? And I think they get in a tussle with the French, maybe. And they're in this fight. The French, of course, are fighting behind barricaded walls. And the Mongols, the plague hits them really bad in the middle of their fight. And their people start dropping. They decide they're going to have to pull out. They're going to have to call off the attack, which is a big deal for the Mongols. Yeah. You know?
Normally, I'm backing down from shit.
Right, right. And so they take this idea up. Well, if we're going to pull out of here, then, you know, we're going to do whatever damage we can as we turn around to run. So what they do is they take the dead, their dead, who have the bubonic plague, and they catapult them over.
Ooh.
Into the other side of their opponents.
Cold-blooded.
Yeah. So that kind of also begins the leaks. I mean, these are stories, but they're, you know, they think there is some truth to it. It is a possibility.
Man. I wouldn't have made it back then, dude. I'm soft.
Yeah, I know, right? We wouldn't have made
it. You think about that shit?
Yeah.
I get slapped around easy. Especially by a Mongol.
Oh, I know.
Fuck.
I know. So then it starts spreading, and then the pneumonic plague develops, which is pneumonic plague, which is the airborne kind of version of what the bubonic plague is. Now, in the bubonic plague, what happens is your lymph nodes swell up. They swell up until they burst. And once they burst, it gets the bacteria gets into your bloodstream, in which case it's almost a 100% chance of a fatality.
That's game.
Yeah, it really is. And it's...
pneumonic sounds worse, though, since it's airborne.
Right. Yeah.
It's the same effect?
I would think so.
It travels differently?
I would think so. They think the way that it spreads so quickly, because it did spread over the course of, like, I think 300 or 400 years of it escalating until it gets really bad in the 1300s.
Weren't rats a big problem?
Yes,
in that?
Yes.
Is that what you're leading into?
I was going to mention it.
Okay.
Fleas on the rats, they carried the bacteria responsible for bubonic plague, which is Yersinia pestis. And named after the guy who found it, and it's this parasite, or this bacteria rather, that gets into the parasite, the flea who lives on the rat. The rats come over on the ships. Europe isn't being very clean. There's garbage everywhere. They get all through the garbage and all this kind of stuff. They thought, some scientists believe that the way it spread so quickly, it could have been something else. It wasn't the bubonic plague. But in recent excavations, 2003, a team of scientists dug up a site, found some long-dead Londoners, which is a fun thing to say, I just realized, and they analyzed the teeth in their skull. They were perverts. But they
took look at them teeths. Sorry, go ahead.
They took the teeth out of the skull, and they analyzed them and did find traces of Yersinia pestis, once again responsible for the bubonic plague. They also believe that that the way they traced the genetic encoding of this parasite, that it is, or this bacteria rather, that it is the original plague, and the plague that has stemmed all the other plagues that we have now today. So that's some pretty heavy stuff. The bubonic plague is like the cold, the modern cold, because the cold's always been around too, but it's the modern cold, but it's the hardest, worst, like, probably not the worst, but it's terrible.
If
it gets out of hand, it can cause quite the epidemic as seen in medieval Europe of mid-1300s.
You know, looking back on this conversation, I kind of wish you wouldn't have even told me that.
Oh, it's
now,
not over. Because
now I know it's...
It's not over.
I'm not saying it's over, but...
We're halfway through the seminar. It gets worse.
From the beginning to where we're at, I'm already having my regrets. Now I know it's around. Be looking for fleas.
Oh, yeah, but it's super... And we have the medicine now. That's another thing. The level of education that they had back in the days... You're going to love this, because religion is super tied into why so many people died. Religion is a huge factor in... Not a lot of people
realize. It was a weird thing to point at me and go, oh, you're going to love this.
It's super interesting. And I think the way the psychology of religion and how it affected them in their time period, you're going to be really interested in it too.
Yeah.
But let me just state that at this time, Barcelona, one of the cities in Europe, has already lost 60% of its population.
God damn it.
Exactly. London is 300 people are dying every day.
Huh.
They have to do this technique. This is a super gross technique to think of, but it's an imagery for you. The bodies, there were so many bodies that were laying in the streets. The graves were overflowing.
Yeah.
They did layer burials, which is kind of what we do with our trash today in wastelands.
Right.
Landfills. You dig a bunch of dirt, you dig a big hole, you put people down in it, you put a little bit of dirt, you put more, then you bury more dirt. They do that as a large part. That's how bad it's getting.
Oh, my God.
And it gets so bad that only mountain folk and, like, towns from outside would come to bury people for a high price. At this time, when it's starting to get to its worst, I was estimating 300 to 400 years that it's been built. It's actually six. It's six centuries. So at the time when it's getting super bad right now, it's moved all the way from the east, from Asia, and Eurasia, whatever's going on over there, to where it is in Europe now. So I was speaking about the religious aspect of it. The religious attitudes that were around at the time greatly affected how they believed they should treat the plague, the sickness. And they relied a great deal on religion versus how we would survive today with science and medicines and an understanding of how bacterium are transmitted and all of these kinds of things. They mostly focused on religions because they believed this was the end time. So you had a lot of crazy things going on. People, the Pope, had just as much pull as any political figure, any king, any statesman.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking Roman Catholic Europe here. The majority of people are Roman Catholics. The Pope has just as much pull as anybody. It's their life. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this is the strongest belief system in their existence. And so when it starts becoming super bad, the Pope gets his health advisors, and they're trying to figure out what to do, what's wrong, and they start advising things like don't eat the meat, don't eat meat, don't eat poultry, don't eat pork, and all these kinds of things, which is a decent idea. Yeah. Don't exercise, also a pretty good idea. You don't want to exert yourself. But then there was one of not bathing. They thought for some reason the way it transitioned in the water. Of course, this is just bad hygiene, which results in an easier spread of the disease, the contaminant. So this really spikes it up, is bad science, I guess you could say, in a way. But it gets much, much worse in the religious aspect, because you get these fanatics. They're called flagellants. Flagellant fanatics.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What are those?
They're these guys. They're people that reenact the suffering of Jesus Christ.
Oh, that's
uncalled
for.
They go through the streets. Well, they do it because they believe that they're being punished by God.
Right.
Four horsemen are coming in. This is all told in Revelations. The end times are coming. So they believe that God is, they're at fault, but God can change it. So they start going through the streets with whips, beating themselves en masse. And people are carrying crosses and all these kinds of things, poking themselves with thorns, all these kinds of things. And in a form of penance to correct things for themselves and to save themselves and the people they love and all these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this doesn't work, because when you do that, when you're walking through the streets doing that, you're getting blood everywhere. You're getting contaminants everywhere. You're sweating profusely. This is getting on people. And you're also creating open sores, which, of course, is terrible.
Yeah.
Because now you've got a vessel or an outlet for the plague to get in.
Yeah.
Even more so.
Direct port.
Exactly. So, all that's going on. And then also, it gets kind of weird. It gets kind of freaky, because all the girls...
already freaky.
Oh, I know, right?
But take me deeper.
They become rock stars, in a sense, some of these guys. Because, a bunch of people who are believers are seeing them, and they're thinking, oh, they're doing this miraculous act. They develop huge followings. They start preaching to people. They start killing people that they think are responsible. I'll get into that more later, but my point is they start getting treated like rock stars in a way. And all these girls, you know, they see these dudes walking around, beating themselves, bleeding, doing penance to save their life. And, you know, they're sweating and their bodies are ripped and all these kinds of things. So they start, you know, they're into it. There are rumors of girls going up to them and, like, touching them. Because they think they're, like you know, Jesus, the blind or the sick touch Jesus and they get healed and all this. Well, the girls start taking it to this level. So they'd go and take their blood and rub it on their own faces. And super bad idea, actually. Yeah. because I don't even state the obvious of why that's bad. Yeah. But so you got these groups going around. And going back to what I was saying about them taking up action to execute people, they start looking for someone to kind of point the finger at. They're looking for a scapegoat. Mm-hmm. Okay, who do you think Roman Catholics pick? What people do you think they picked to say you're responsible for this?
Random pick. If I had to draw a name out of a hat, the Jews.
Boom.
Oh, what do you know?
You got it. 100 points.
They go. To sometimes they pick us. We make good scapegoats. Is my Jewish impression.
That's
so fucking dumb, but go ahead.
I respect.
Ain't that a bitch, though?
I respect the Jews. I have to.
That is too fucking hard,
man. If you know your
man.
History, you have to a little bit, man.
Yeah.
Any people that have gone through that kind of suffering. But the stories, man, they go and they recruit. We're going to talk a little bit louder into these things. They go and round up 2,000 Jews in one city and they burn them to the stake.
I could think of some people I'd like to burn to the stake at this juncture, but I don't want to do that to them.
They do that in like 15 other cities. They just start. They collect people and just.
This is really
mass
sad.
Genocide. I know, man. I know. But hang in.
There's
there.
No light at the end of this tunnel, is there?
There is. I swear.
All right.
You remind me, and I'll tell you what it is. Okay. So this starts going on, but sad as it is, this is why we do these things, because it's people need to know, right? Because eventually the Jews get pushed out of Europe, and they have to, flee to Poland, I believe it is, which is interesting, because what happens 700 years later in Poland and with Germans?
Some not fantastic things.
Hey!
What is
WW2.
It? The Kolomost, what is it?
The Holocaust?
I'm kidding. I know what it is.
I was about to say.
I was like, is
man.
This funny if I call it like something unpronounced? Like he doesn't really know. It's not funny. And there's no.
When people there, I can't take comedy and the Jewish culture together. I can't throw it around.
It's tough. I've actually got something leading into that I'm going to do tonight that involves just the word Jewish.
Uh-huh.
You'll see, but it's nothing about the Holocaust. I can tell you that.
Yeah. I can't do it because, I mean, just knowing what you know from history, I mean, it's just,
or you could just
I was going to go get that car, and I was so excited to get that car, and then, man, I got Jewed on it. The guy, the salesman Jewed me on it, you know? Oh, he's a Jew.
Yeah.
Damn, you can't, after you know what the Jewish people have gone through through World War II, and we think of what I think of World War II when I think of the Jewish community and the suffering they went through, and I think of the time of Jesus, you know, the stories that come from that era and all this kind of stuff. But the bubonic plague, I mean, you got to think on top of the bubonic plague of all that was horrible, that a disease that's killing everybody, then your people start getting mass executed for religious paranoia. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like, unjustified.
It's not
fair. Jewish people weren't responsible for the bubonic plague.
I just want to say thanks to John Mulaney and Nick Kroll. Now when I think of Jewish people, I think of guys that just like eat tuna fish all the time. Have you seen them?
No.
No? I guess, I don't know what it is or whose show it is, but it's him. It's Nick Kroll and John Mulaney, and they go up to a bar and they order a tuna teeny, and they're like the most Jewish guys in history.
Uh-huh.
It's really heavy on that Jew aspect. And, they like pour themselves. They pop open a can of tuna and pour it in a martini glass and pour like a little vodka in there, and that's a tuna teeny. I don't know what that has to do with Jewish people, but they have officially like put another stigma on that religion. It's not fair. Then the one
that show has created more suffering for the Jewish people, and I will not support it, Ryan.
Okay, but one thing that is funny is, have you ever seen the episode of Family Guy where Peter, I don't know if it's about the episode or it's just like a flashback. Peter walks up to a church and thinks he's now Jewish, And he's like, I went to go buy a car yesterday, and he tried to charge me $3,300, but I ussed him down to $2,200. And everybody gets pissed at him. I think that's, like, there's some Jewish humor that's okay. But once you bring up the Holocaust, it kind of kills it, you know?
Yeah.
Because when for years, like most of my life, I'd heard that word and didn't even know what it was until I got on YouTube one day and shattered my view on reality by looking at, like, learning about the Holocaust.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You, because, like...
The Pianoist, that's a movie that's tough for me to watch a second time. I've told myself I'm gonna watch that movie again. Ooh, I've never done it. I never gotten around to it.
It reminds you of how far evil in men can go.
Right.
It's just, like, pure evil without, like, real, like, justification for anything.
Yeah.
That's how, I mean, that's, like, a good, like, little peek at how deep that goes. Like, oh, it's just too fucking crazy. Like, there's nothing, I don't think there's any humor in the Holocaust, and I can find humor in just about everything. That's just too, it makes me too sad to even say the word. It just, oh, you know? And then you got to talk about it as necessary. We should still be talking about this for a long, long time as a people.
Right.
Don't forget that shit went down.
Yeah.
But.
Same with slavery and black people.
Ooh, I don't like it. Yeah.
All that shit. I mean, I don't mean for us to go one hole after another of negativity and death and genocide and slavery and all this stuff. The point we're trying to come full circle on here is that stuff is like, people aren't mindful of it. You know what I'm saying?
And
people
Jewish
don't.
Jokes
people
tonight.
Don't think.
Not together.
Think twice about it, and they'll throw things around, or they say something because something's in pop culture that they think is just hilarious. You know, South Park's pretty guilty of that in a lot of sense. You know, and the bad thing about that humor, even if the humor can be worked in and it can work out, and it's not super offensive, South Park usually doesn't give a damn about any of that stuff. And then when it's popular and kids see it, you know, young kids. And they see
then
it, and then
they
just start throwing around those same slurs themselves. They just start going about and saying whatever they think, because they think it's funny, and they've got the show, and, oh, I should say what I should be the fourth grade Cartman who doesn't care either.
Yeah.
You know, but you don't know those people's history. You don't, you know? And if you're just saying those things are coming out of a state of ignorance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, ignorance is going to be a problem with, you know, whatever information they take in, and, like, TV. You know, kids are shitty. Not all of them. Most of the kids are shitty, and they haven't figured out how to be cool yet.
It's a broad statement, Ryan.
Hey, man, I'm putting kids on blast, you know? All children. You better get your shit together. But it's just like, when you're a kid, you sort of do what I was talking about earlier, how, like, I'll take a thing and I'll, like, reach to the end of it. You know, to, like, find jokes. But kids do that all the time with everything, with the way they breathe, you know? And a lot of kids are, like, fucking, they don't have great lives at home, or even if they do, they might see something like on South Park, and they'll say something shitty to somebody because they think it's funny, or because they've, like, been taught that that's funny, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And that's a good point you made.
It doesn't help, but
about
I don't know.
Kids' home lives, that's actually a really huge factor. You know, you can look at, that's another thing, you look at kids and you judge them based on surface values. You know, if you were to walk into a classroom and sat there for an hour with them and just, you know, maybe the teacher was like, I'm going to step out and you control these kids, just make them do their work or whatever like that, you know, because schools are, of course, a great setting for where masks, you know, kids are gathered together. And they feed off of each other, and one person stirs the pot, and the other one takes off with this and badly behaves. And you look at all those things, and you just take surface value, and you're like, that kid is a bad kid. That kid, you know, he'll never amount to anything. I could care less what happens to that kid. You have all these negative things, but what you're really not accounting is that's a very young person with a mental level of thinking that isn't developed yet. He's not coming into his own. And what has shaped that person's mind, what has shaped that person's mind is their home environment, you know, and from whatever happened, whatever they were exposed to by their role models, their adult people or their whoever was in charge of raising them, basically. Yeah. And if that is a little unstable, the mental cognitive mental cognitive abilities of that child could also end up being unstable.
Yeah.
And it directly affects how he projects his character onto himself, the character that he's not even fully into yet.
Yeah, you know, he doesn't know who he is.
He doesn't even know what character is. He's just doing things, and he's reacting based on how other kids react, and he's just trying to assimilate.
The only thing he knows whether or not he'll actually say the words is that he really wants some attention.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That's sort of what I'm sure I'm going to get tonight is with hecklers. That's a little piece that never finishes, you know, never finishes developing that you want
attention. You think you're going to get heckled tonight?
I don't know that I get heckled every time, you know. There's always somebody. There's always somebody that won't stop talking, and I got to call them out. But I haven't been heckled. But I don't know. I don't have a, you know.
Yeah, you might come in contact with some loud, talkative people or something like that.
That's not a huge problem.
I don't consider that heckling either. I feel like heckling is someone projecting someone at you
or to people
around you about you in a negative way.
In that sense, I use the wrong word. I hope I don't have a heckler tonight.
Yeah, which you just said you never have.
No,
so
I never have, and I don't know why I would expect that. I guess just because right now people are really talkative, but they have no reason to not be at this juncture.
Right. But I mean, shit, we're talking. Aren't we? We're talking here.
Yeah, but I got headphones and a microphone on. Yeah. I demand respect.
Nobody knows we're doing this besides people walking by.
I don't know. But that's why I think that's funny.
We won't get into details about any of that, because we will slip up again. But yeah.
Where's the light at the end of the tunnel for this whole plague thing?
What do you mean?
You said there was a light.
We're still alive and we can eat ice cream.
You son of a bitch, man. Is that really what you had in your back pocket the whole time?
I mean, it's what I just pulled out my...
Well, you're not wrong.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
I can't even fucking argue with you. Sort of wish I could. You know I got to do comedy tonight, right?
Hey. This is a good start.
Look, Ryan, before you go on stage, just realize millions of people are dead.
Constantly.
And it's very sad. And guess what? There's another one.
They did one thing in the bubonic plague. They were trying to... Two things I'd like to tell you about. One was this idea that there was something in the air that they could cleanse through excessive noise. People would run through the streets screaming, shoot cannons off at all hours of the night, ring church bells continuously. They thought that you could cure the water.
Plague.
Yeah, to remove the plague from the air. How silly is that?
The world was so fucking crazy back then, dude.
But they had to stop with the church bells.
Yeah.
Because church bells, they would ring them for people whenever they passed. Because, you know, at funerals, they ring them and all this kind of stuff. Well, they had to stop doing that. Think of the psychological pressure. Because people were always going, and the bell was always ringing. So then it became, imagine you sitting at your house quarantined for 3 months, and that bell hasn't stopped ringing in the last 3 months. They had to stop. Because people were going, wow. Because if you think of the population of Barlona, like we were talking about, where 60% of the population gets wiped out, the odds of you getting out if you lived in that city, let's take everyone where you work.
Yeah.
If all your coworkers, if you found out, 60% of them were going to go, those odds are against you as an individual.
It's not
so
favorable.
Imagine sitting in your house for 3 months hearing that goddamn bell, and you go... Chances are good that bell's going to ring for me soon.
Oh. Fuck.
They had to
stop.
God
damn it, Stefan. You're still taking me in that direction.
I mean, isn't it crazy, though?
It is absolutely
Think
crazy.
Think of the time period. You walk into this town, and noises, cannons and bells, and people are running in the streets screaming. There's more dead people on the ground than they can fit into the ground.
Ooh, isn't there a name of a song called For Whom the Bell Tolls?
For Whom the Bell Tolls? Sounds like some AC/DC stuff right there.
Hey, somebody. But I bet you that's got a tie
in. Ozzy Osbourne, maybe.
And guess what? Makes me sad now.
No. Your knowledge. You got to look at it positive because now you possess the knowledge of this time period.
Yeah.
You feel for it a little bit more, you know?
I'll try to write a joke about this.
I mean, if that's how you feel about it. I mean, you'll pull something out of it. It's dark, man, though. I just like to look at it as a...
It's dark as shit.
Let me tell you this. I mean, I probably just gave like a 20-25 minute spiel about it on the Black Plague, but that's because I've been researching it for a long time, watching documentaries, reading papers, all this kind of stuff, and just writing my own notes about it. But despite having rehearsed it and like thought about it and added material and just delved deeper and deeper, I've yet to, like, nothing funny has come out of it for me, you know what I'm saying? And with me knowing, like, I pretty much just almost went all off my head just telling you all about this. Like, despite it all being there in my head, I can't think of anything funny. I haven't tried to, but usually I don't think about things being funny. Like, something funny just comes to mind.
Yeah, whatever's funny is funny.
Nothing's come out of this. Nothing.
Is ain't shit funny about that, Stefan.
There's something, but it's so intense. Like, I guess I
there's something somewhere.
I guess I have such respect for it now. Like, my knowledge of it is where it is. It's just, like, at the level of, like, the level of which I also respect it is also very much up there with it, too, at this point, you know?
Yeah.
And
well, what if they're taking guys out of the city and the bells are tolling, and then there's, like a little person, and they only get, like, a little bike bell? Cha-ching.
That's dark, dude.
It's dark as shit, but
isn't it? Talking about babies and bells right now.
I didn't say nothing about babies. All right?
Hey, dude.
So a little person, that can mean a lot of things.
Well, here, I'll say something about it. Babies were dying.
Oh, damn it, Stefan.
It ain't funny anymore, is it?
No. Whatever I had there is gone.
Yeah, it's so hard when you know all the angles, you know?
Yeah, I'd never want to do that joke. It's not even a joke, but like a bubonic plague joke on stage and have somebody in the audience go, babies have died. Because that shit will happen, you know? Eventually, I'm going to say something that's going to get somebody to react in a negative connotation.
Yeah.
That might happen tonight. I've actually got some stuff that's
are
like
you
racy
wishing
enough.
For it to happen or
a
something?
A little bit.
This is
not wishing.
It goes.
But
he's
I just
got material planned to backfire. That's what it is.
Yeah, sort of. But it's also sort of like there are things that I've heard are going to happen or stuff that regularly happens to comedians. And I kind of want to not get it out of the way, but have it happen so I know what it feels like for that to happen, so I can learn how to deal with that.
Yeah,
get better at that.
Yeah, that's something we need when we stop to kind of flip. Like we were saying earlier, we wanted to flesh through our notes and go through the last show,
yeah.
And maybe just talk a little about what we're gonna do tonight. I mean, it's an hour till showtime now, so
yeah,
maybe we'll do that in a second. But
let's end on something positive, something good.
You're right, though. You should definitely, it should happen so that you can be prepared and kind of know how to handle it.
But
and
I'm not like, seeking it.
Right.
Know?
Well, nobody is, but it's going to happen if you do it long enough.
Yeah.
So it's better that it happens and you kind of know how to react, because you can also react negatively or positively, and your personal, the most important feelings that come out of it are your own feelings, because you're the guy who still has to stand there and talk.
Yeah.
So, and have an attitude. So you're the one that's important of how that outcome comes. But at the same time, there's also the heckler. There's the heckler's feelings and their attitude. And if you react in a certain way, you could set them off. You could, you could affect them greatly. If you say the right thing at the right time, you can crush somebody with it.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to ask yourself, is that what you want to do? Or is there a way to be kind of passive about it? I've heard some great people who have.
I'm just naturally a little bit passive, I think.
Right. Well, that's
like
a good
whenever
thing too,
somebody like doesn't respond well. Like,
when someone's up in arms about something and you just kind of let it roll off, people, you know, they look at the two people. They're looking at the person who's reacting this way and the person who's reacting. And then who's the crowd going to go with? Who are people in general going to go with? You know what I mean?
Oh, but you better hope you win. If you don't win, you might as well fucking get off stage for the night and put that one in the books. You can't let from all my heckle research, you can't let them win.
Yeah,
because it's not their fucking show. If it would, in my mind, like if they're doing something to you, it's because they would rather be doing what you're doing.
Yeah,
and I'm not even fucking, not even doing anything too spectacular.
Yeah,
but I do think it's pretty fucking cool what we've been doing. We've created a movement. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
It might be small in stature right now, but it's going to grow.
Well, you call it a movement, and any action is a movement, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of what the movement develop into, what it develops into. So, yeah, it's a movement. But what the motion continues on into is, it's entirely up to us and the people that, are in on it, whoever supports it, and whoever wants to do something with it.
I can't believe I'm going to say this in my head. Like I was like, don't say that. I'm going to say it because I think it's funny. I want to be the Hitler for Mississippi comedy minus the Jews and the hate. I just want to be running shit. But not for real. It's just something in my head I thought was funny. I hope nobody hears that and is like, Ryan Vanskyver wants to be Hitler? And that's the only, like, if they put that on a paper, that would be the only line.
I should have just ended the podcast right there. Like, I could go back and just cut it out. So you're like, you're going to go, let's end it on a positive note. I want to be Hitler. And then I'll just roll the credits. I'll just play the outro music, and that'll be it. That'll be the show. And everybody will just be like, why did it end there?
JK, though. Oh, okay, but no, something for real positive. Think of something positive. Not Hitler.
Watch this. Boom. And just with a press of a button, I have uploaded the new blog, the food recipe for cashew.
That is positive.
Cashew cereal.
I saw your thing about that.
Yeah, dude. It's up there now.
You
guys can go
do
check
that.
It out.
You have like a bunch of like little recipes and stuff that
it's
are available.
It's kind of weird because like I like
you're
to
a
cook,
multifaceted
right?
guy. Well, you know
thank
that.
You. Thank
it's
you.
It's not a compliment.
It's not?
Just kidding. It is. But I like to say that whenever somebody's like, oh, thanks, man. I go, it's not coming. It'd
be the nicest thing in the world.
Keep
like,
you on your toes.
You're the nicest person I've ever
met. That is cool.
That's not a compliment.
You're too fucking nice, dog.
But no, I like try to make this like cashew granola bar with dates, and I put some like almonds. Just put it in a food processor. I found, I'll save the story. It's all in the blog. But anyway, yeah. I made it, and then I put it away like, all right, I'm going to make these bars. But then I had a little bit left, and I poured some milk on it because I was just hungry, and I was like, I want some cereal, but I don't eat a lot of cereal because I've taken a lot of wheat and oats and all this stuff. So I just put it in like that, and then I got all the stuff that I put in the freezer to be bars and dumped it out in a Ziploc bag, and now it's just chilling. Ooh. And it's a cereal, and it's delicious. I love it. And it's super simple to make. It's like it's literally like two steps. You know, if you count the third step, you put it in a Ziploc bag. And store it somewhere.
I really
want to
try
steps.
That drink you came up with the other day.
The orange goodness.
The orange goodness.
With blueberries.
If you go on the website and look at that, it looks really fucking good.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was doing the kale shake stuff like all the time. And this green goodness stuff is just something that me and some relatives like always got into, started buying up just to take. Because you can do a little bit and then supplement the rest of your vitamin and minerals from all the other things that you eat throughout the day. Just get a little jump start in your day with a little bit of the stuff. It's good.
You do, when you drink kale shakes, it's always in the morning?
I haven't been drinking them as of lately. Yeah. I do spinach shakes, though.
Always.
Kale shakes, I've been steaming more.
Always when you wake up, though?
No, anytime. But
I was gonna say,
in the
like people
is
always
great because
say
it's like a boost of energy. You get all your vitamins and minerals, just like you pop a morning vitamin in the day. You know, usually that's a good time to do it.
Right.
But I mean, it's great for the middle of the day. If you want to move your digestion track along, if you eat a lot of meat or something or some pasta,
you want to. You know, sometimes you just wish you could poop a little bit.
Exactly.
This
helps.
This is
a great
your thing.
Deal. Because it's liquid, and you can put flaxseed in it, which also helps. And
I've heard so many things about flaxseed, but I've never picked any up.
It's cheap, a good source of protein, tastes delicious, can mix with lots of stuff, can get it at major chain stores.
I need to grab some of that.
Go get you some flaxseed.
Don't fuck around, dog. You need flaxseed in your life.
Exactly.
Kale shakes and orange goodness and whatnot. Why not? That's the question.
For the orange goodness,
it's
though,
a Joey Diaz impression.
You put the blueberries in that. That gives it the Jamaican colors of the yellow.
Yeah,
the
I saw
red,
the blueberries. I was like,
and the green.
That
should
look good.
All you do is you take this orange goodness stuff that I'm talking about. You put about half of whatever your glass, and then you put a quarter of, or no, excuse me. It's orange juice is a half, and then like a quarter of the green goodness. Put it in there. You get some frozen blueberries, drop it in the mix. That should go in first. Yeah. And the combination of the colors and how they change, you get this green, yellow, red-looking drink. And the blueberries chill it. And then you can you let it sit for 5 minutes.
That was something I had to note, is that the blueberries weren't blended into it. It was just like a little additive, a little drop. Drop a couple of these in here.
It's for the aesthetic look of the color that makes it so crazy. And it keeps it chill. And they
and you get a little chew.
And you absorb, they absorb the orange juice in the green goodness concoction. So once you get to the end of your glass of this orange juice goodness, blueberry hint thing, then you've got these blueberries you pop at the end. And
I like that.
They have the aftertaste of the overall drink.
I'm with the very
get down
idea.
With that, yeah.
But also,
super easy to make.
I don't even know if you have to bring it up. You don't really have to if you don't want to, but you also did some like homemade granola bars.
I don't
want to
talk about that.
I don't want to.
I'm kidding.
Don't bring that up, bro.
oh man, I should have brought you some. I had some, like one or two left over. I was gonna bring some to like you and Daniel or whoever did the next podcast just to taste it all.
Yeah.
Hey, we won't ruin that. We'll do it next time.
We'll save some. And also, even another positive note, just to leave it on. If you're listening to this and you listen to the whole thing, even through the drudgery and the tough stuff, you know, the bubonic plague and Hitler, and I'm Hitler, and that's not the point, but we do every Monday at 8 p.m. at Mizo's Juke Joint. If you don't know what that is, Google it. All the information is there. Every Monday at 8, we host an open mic, and what that means is that we will be there and we're going to perform, but we are leaving the forum open so you can go try it too, because we want to find other people that want to do comedy. So we can make some pals. You know what I'm saying?
On Mondays.
A little friendship happening.
Sometimes we do a podcast beforehand. Mizo's will sponsor it and all that good stuff. Give us a little place to set up.
If nothing else, man, it's a good time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we have had people go up and do good. Some of the people.
Yeah.
Some people kind of are feeling it out, which is fine.
Yeah.
We're cool with that. We're not going to name names or point fingers or anything. But
there was a guy. Good, because I don't remember him.
There was a guy in a previous show. You know, that went up, and we were just kind of like watching, and he was just kind of lingering and just talking and whatnot.
Yeah.
And we were like, after 10 minutes, like, man, something gonna. And then he said some stuff that got quite a few laughs. So, you know, we're totally down
he
for
did
people
it,
going
man.
Up there and working it out. He did it.
I appreciate that he did it.
Absolutely. And if it's anybody else wants to get up there and do
it's for sure better than whatever you're doing on Monday night. If you're looking to go
That's
do
a broad
anything.
Statement, Ryan.
Hey, man. I guarantee, I don't want to write that down, but I'm almost positive that somebody there is going to make you laugh at something. And to me, that's going to see a comedy show is way more fun than just going to a bar.
It's a great way to shake the Monday blues and to just go out and, I mean, what better way than just
the blues? You
got to
shake them off, man. You can't carry that shit around
fun,
for the rest of the week. Come let us knock that shit off your shoulders from 8 to 10. Or really, you know, we say 8 to 10. If we're inside, we can go as long as we want.
True that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
And we gonna do that. Actually, one time we did that, we went longer, and you were like, hey, man, we got to go, and you're my ride. And I was like, well, I guess we're out of here. And I went up to the dude. I was like, hey, you're the new host, and just left. And I never knew when that ended. I wish I did.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the setup is so good that it can be, you know, just run, and it's pretty fairly easy to break down. And, you know, we didn't even have to announce that we were leaving. I mean, we could have just, like, up and left, and people would have, the microphones would have still been there. I mean, as long as the house knows we're going. And,
I just did it because it was funny to me.
Yeah.
But, hey, man, this is your show now.
Yeah. I mean, if enough people show up and they want to just keep going with it and have a hell of a night, then that's totally fine.
You know, man.
So, Mizo's, every Monday night.
Boom.
About 8 o'clock.
8 p.m. One time.
Sometimes 8:30. We, you know, it depends. When we feel
it
out.
Yeah, we show up at 8, and, like, when we feel like going on, we go on.
So,
come the fuck out.
Give it a shot.
It'll be fun for one and for all. Boom.
In closing, go
ain't through. Ain't no bubonic plague in that place.
No. There's some cats, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. We'll research
Mizo's,
it. We'll put it on something on the website. You know what? We'll see you.
We'll
boom.
See you. In closing, also go to coastalnoise.com if you want to listen to any of the podcasts. We've got them all there. I'm going to be doing a thing, I think, keeping about 25 episodes up, and I'm going to start removing some of the audio players. I'll keep the download files up, but just so it doesn't back up the traffic too much on the website and everybody can listen without too much slowdown. So, the files will still be up there for the most part, and you can download it to your smartphone, your computer, whatever. Don't deal with that, your stupid internet that you've been meaning to upgrade for the last 5 years, and you're just waiting for the internet to. Don't bother with it. Just download the file and have it on the go, you know? Your MP3, whatevs. You know what it is. Okay, Coastal Noise Podcast. We're about to go, and Ryan's going to do some stand-up, and I'm going to play some slide guitar. So, is that it? I think it is. I'm sure it's not, but if it isn't, I will tell you later on, a.k.a. already you've heard it in the pre-show announcements. So enough about me. How about you? Good night.